Amen. All right. We're in the book of Proverbs. We're continuing our series from the book of Proverbs, Practical Wisdom for a Prosperous Life. And I love the book of Proverbs. It has so much insight for life. And today is a very important topic because this is something that we all deal with from time to time. Today, I want to look at Proverbs and find wisdom for the wounded. Wisdom for the wounded. And I want to pull out some truths for escaping the snare of offense. Offense. Everybody say offense. How many have ever been offended? How many are offended that I just asked you if you've been offended? Sure. So we're going to start in Proverbs chapter 18. So you can go there as we kick off with this verse. And then we're going to go through a few different scriptures in Proverbs that speak to this issue of offense. And we're going to understand how the enemy wants to pull us into offense and how vital it is for us to be discerning people who can recognize the trap of the enemy and not allow ourselves to get sucked into what the Bible calls offense. So Proverbs chapter 18, verse 19, if you're there, say amen. Says this: a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city offended. So, what does it mean to be offended? Well, simply stated, it is to react with anger or resentment or withdraw, to pull back and to isolate yourself because of something that someone has said or done or did not say or do that you felt entitled to be offended, to get angry because of that. Do you know someone who is easily offended? Don't look at anybody. And don't point at anybody, please, okay? Because they will certainly be offended, okay? Do you live with someone who is easily offended? Just look straight ahead right now. Don't even look in that direction, okay? Are you easily offended? Are you a person who easily gets your feelings hurt and takes up offense? Now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how can we know, how can a person know and tell if he or she is a person who's easily offended? So I thought through some criteria here on how to know if you are easily offended, okay? So just follow along here. How to know if you are easily offended? If you can't stay at a job, on a team, in a church, or with any group of people for more than 6 months, you might be easily offended. If what I just said offended you, you might be easily offended. If you take things personal that have nothing to do with you, you might be easily offended. If a dozen people compliment you, but you obsess over the one who criticized you, you might be easily offended. If 12 months later, you're still obsessing over the person who criticized you, you might be easily offended. If you get defensive when people disagree with you or feel victimized when they prove you wrong, you might be easily offended. If you have a short fuse, a quick trigger, an explosive temper, and a long list of people that you don't talk to anymore, you might be easily offended. If you feel you're owed an apology because someone didn't look at you or smile at you or say hi to you or acknowledge your presence in the room, you might be easily offended. And if what I just said offended you, you might be easily offended. If your favorite saying is, "Don't judge me," you might be easily offended. If you feel hurt because nobody liked your Facebook post or your Instagram pic, you might be easily offended. If you get offended when people ask you if you are offended, you might be easily offended. If you're mad because you weren't invited to the meeting, pouting because you didn't get the position, or quitting because someone questioned your competence, you might be easily offended. If you're infuriated that you don't get invited, disgusted that you didn't get greeted, angry you didn't get appreciated, resent that you didn't get recognized, you might be easily offended. If gossip makes you feel good, and you're a constant complainer, and you have a right to be angry with anyone who disagrees with your position on religion, politics, names of football teams, open borders, gender selection, global warming, free trade, Russian interference on our elections, President Donald Trump, and generally any political view contrary to your own, you might be easily offended. And if you think that I am secretly talking about you right now, and you've already started your email, you might be easily offended. Just poke somebody and ask them, are you easily offended? Come on, just ask somebody that. And if they swat your hand away, that's probably a good sign right there. Listen, the enemy wants you and me to be offended. The enemy wants us to hold on to offense. Why? Because a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. What does that mean? What is a strong city? Think about it. What makes a city strong and hard to defeat, especially back in these ancient days? Walls, exactly. The people of that city had been attacked so much, they had been hurt so much, that they have had to put up walls to keep people out and keep themselves safe. And that's what happens when we get offended. And that's why the enemy wants us to take up offense. Because when we're offended, we put up walls and we keep people out. We separate ourselves and we isolate ourselves, and that's exactly where the enemy wants us. He doesn't want to just separate you, he wants to isolate you. Because Proverbs 18:1 says that a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire and rages against all wise judgment. You cannot reason with someone who's carrying an offense and who has withdrawn and isolated themselves. If you try to talk logically, they won't hear it. Why? Because they've put up walls and everyone else is a threat and they don't want anyone else to be able to speak into their lives. This is what offense does. Offense brings isolation. People who are offended break off relationships. They leave churches. They stop attending connect groups. They won't take your phone calls. They see your call coming in and your name on caller ID. And how many love caller ID? Come on, be honest right now. Right? Right? You see that name coming in there, right? Oh, I'll just let that go to voicemail right now. Okay? Right? Amen? I think caller ID can be good sometimes. I think it's from God sometimes. Right? But that's what happens. People are offended. You try to call them, they won't take your calls. You send them a text and they won't respond. You write them an email and they don't write back. You send them a letter and you don't hear from them. They won't talk with you. They won't dialogue with you. And they think that by isolating themselves and pushing you out and putting up walls, they think that they are punishing you. That's what they think. It's like a passive aggressive thing. I'm going to get back at you. I'm going to somehow inflict some pain on you by not talking to you and insult you insulted me. I'm going to insult you by pushing you out, right? But what they don't realize is that those walls that they are putting up have actually become a prison cell of bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and defeat and isolation. And not only is it pushing people out of their lives, those walls and that offense is becoming a hindrance in their walk with God. Becomes a hindrance in their walk with God. And this is exactly where the enemy wants us, isolated. He wants you isolated. He wants to put you all alone in the chaos and the confusion and the clamor of your own mind. He wants to isolate you so he can drown you in your own thoughts. And how many know your own thoughts, my own thoughts, are not always good thoughts? because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. He wants to drown you in your own thoughts so that you cannot hear the truth of his word. He wants to fill your mind with arguments in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And the enemy knows that if he can keep you from connecting, if he can isolate you from people who love you and will speak into your life, and yes, will love you enough to tell you you are wrong when you're wrong and need to know that you're wrong, if he can cut you off from those kinds of people, he knows he can set up strongholds in your mind, he can destroy your faith, and ultimately destroy your walk with Jesus Christ. And it all starts with an offense. Something somebody said or didn't say, something somebody did or didn't do that upsets us and makes us angry and causes us to put up walls. Now, the book of Proverbs has so much to say about this. I love the book of Proverbs because it's wisdom on relation with man's relationships with man. It helps us to be healthy in our relationships with others and healthy in our lives so that we can have a blessed and prosperous life. And Proverbs is full of wisdom for the wounded. It's full of wisdom, full of practical advice, practical truth on how to get free from offense and to recognize when you're getting pulled into it. So I want to go through a couple of truths here that I've discovered from the book of Proverbs on how we can deal with offense. How many want to learn how to deal with offense? Amen? Because guess what? You're going to get offended. And it'll probably happen today for some of you. Before you even leave this building, you're going to probably get offended by somebody. You're going to walk out there and you're going to say, oh, meet and greet, huh? Nobody ever meets and greets me. I come in here all the time. Nobody knows, nobody cares about, right? There's always something. Amen? Out in the parking lot, you wave to somebody, they don't wave back. Well, who do they think they are? Right? Maybe you walked in here, somebody's sitting in your seat. Oh, yeah. Come on. I'm not even looking over there, okay? Because I can look over here, because you got your seats over here, too. I know. Right? And you're like, excuse me. You know, I sit in that seat every Sunday, right? There's always something to get us offended. Amen? How many got offended today? Come on, be honest. I mean today, you got offended. Come on, look at, we got hands all over the place right there. See that? God bless Mission Church people. They're so wonderful. Was it me, Mike? Did I offend you today? It wasn't me, okay? All right, good. We're good, right? All right, good. Because I don't want you doing no karate stuff on me outside in the parking lot, all right? All right, number one. You ready? Everybody say number one. First thing, get control of your emotions. You got to get control of your emotions. If someone offends you, beware of knee-jerk responses and hasty reactions. Some of you need to take notes here, okay? Because I know you get offended easily, all right? So you need, don't be looking up here. You be looking down and taking notes, all right? Number one, get control of your emotions. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit, who controls his reactions, than he who takes a city. Our tendency is we get angry, we confront people, we defend ourselves, someone doesn't say hi to us, right? Somebody doesn't wave at us, somebody says something that twists us all up, we're going to get in their stuff, right? But Proverbs 29:11 says this, a fool, a what? A fool vents all his feelings, right? You ever meet one of those people? No pointing, okay? No filter. All right? Somebody says something, somebody posts something on Facebook, you know, right? And I mean, they just react. And I mean, they just let it all out. I mean, they've written 15 paragraphs on Facebook on why they think you're nuts. Just everything, just let it all out. And the Bible says that if you're that person who just lets it all out, I mean, you just vent it all. It says you're a fool. A what? I didn't say that. The Bible says that, okay? All right, how about us married people? That was my wife saying amen. Right? How about us married people? Right? Your spouse says something, doesn't say something, right? Does something, whatever, you know? No filter, right? Now, if somebody else at work or at church did that same thing to you, you probably would let it go. But it happened in your house with your spouse, and what happened? You just vent. No filter. Just let it all out, man. Right? And what does the Bible say about that person? But a wise man holds them back. Rather than venting our anger toward those who've hurt us, we should keep our emotions in check and deal with things on a rational, logical level. You got to learn how to control your response. Don't react. Reactions are immediate. Reactions are knee-jerk. Respond. Responses are more calculated and thought through, right? Amen? So don't start writing emails right away. Don't send that text right away. Don't put that post on social media when you're angry. Amen? The worst time to post something or write an email is when you're angry. How many have ever gotten an angry email? How many have ever sent one? Right? Yeah, I know. I got some of yours sometimes. So. Right? I mean, don't ever send an angry... I mean, you ever get one of those? It's like, I mean, the email just goes on and on forever and ever, right? Amen? Don't send angry emails. You can write it, but don't send it. Might be good to send it. Make sure there's no name, you know, in the window box there, okay? All right? Don't send angry emails. Don't send angry text, okay? The reality is you're going to be wounded by people. Jesus said it is impossible to go through life without offenses. He said, is it impossible in Luke 17:1 that offenses will not come? Offenses will come. Now, the word offense actually means stumbling block. It's something that causes us to stumble or to trip. It pulls us down, stops our progress. It halts us. It's translated, so the word offense in the Greek is actually translated from the Greek word skandalon. The skandalon is the part of the trap that the bait is hung on that lures the animal in for capture. So that means Satan is constantly trying to get us offended so that we will take the bait and then come into his trap, and then he can do damage into our lives. And some of you, I dare say, you're on the hook right now. Right now. There's somebody that you're angry at, that you're holding a grudge against, that you're bitter towards, that you don't talk to, that you avoid. Right? They're on your list. You know what list I'm talking about. Right? Okay? And you're on the hook right now. You've taken the bait, and you've come into the trap now, and the enemy is tormenting your mind. But Proverbs tells us that if you are wise, how many want to be wise? Okay? You won't get trapped in offense if you're wise. Proverbs 19:11. It says this, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. Are you kidding me? Overlook a transgression. The discretion of a man makes him slow to, wisdom makes us slow to anger, right? What does that mean? That means that you may have absolutely no control over what happens to you, but you have total control over how you respond to it. Total control, absolute control over how you respond. And Proverbs says, be slow to anger, rule your spirit, hold back your feelings, right? You have control over whether or not you allow offense to take hold of you. You have control of it. You decide that, amen? You decide that, right? Okay? It's not so much what the person said or did that offends us. It's what we make that action into in our minds, right? It's how powerful we make it in ourselves, right? So if we believe that Proverbs is true, and it is, then here's a question. If I'm offended, whose fault is that? Is it your fault for offending me or my fault for being offended? Right? My fault, right? An offense is a little thing that we make into a big thing, and that big thing stumbles us. It pulls us down, right? It's usually not what someone did or said that hurts us. It's what we build it into that hurts us and defeats us. And we internalize the criticism. We take it personal, and we allow our perception of what someone thinks to determine our value, and we feel as though they have somehow insulted our value. And so what happens now? We get angry. And what we've done is we have given that person the control over our emotions. We've allowed that person to have the controlling mandate over our emotions because we've surrendered to that offense. So control your emotions. Amen? Amen. Another thing that we need to do, Proverbs tells us, is that we need to cover the offender with love. Okay? Now, we already read in Proverbs 19:11 that it's a wise person's glory to overlook a transgression. But Proverbs 10:12 says this: hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Love covers all sins. See, so often we feel the need to confront someone who offends us, to write that email, to tell them off, right? They disrespected me. They hurt me. They somehow have devalued my value, my worth as a person, and I'm going to make them pay. I'm going to not talk to them until they give me my dignity back through an apology or somehow I humiliate them, right? And so we have this mindset of resentment towards a person. We hold this grudge in our mind towards that person until we can confront them and talk to them. And let me just say this. There is a time to confront someone. There is a time where we need to go to someone and speak to them, and I'll cover that in a moment. But before we immediately put that into gear, before we immediately escalate the situation to a confrontation, what about this? Just covering their sin with our love. What about that? What about that option? Just covering their sin with our love. Just forgiving that person. How many are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13? We call it the love chapter. How many love the love chapter? We love the, especially weddings, right? We love the love chapter. And there's a reason why we read the love chapter at weddings, okay? Because when you really look at the love chapter, you're going to see that there's a lot of long suffering in that love chapter. There's a lot of being kind in the love chapter. There's this not behaving rudely to one another in the love chapter, right? There's this not being provoked. There's this bearing with one another. There's this hoping and enduring. Amen? Amen, church? Come on, we all want to be people of love, right? Lord, teach me to love. How many of you pray that? Lord, teach me to love. I want to be like Jesus. Make me like Jesus, Lord, right? We have the fruit of the Spirit, love, okay? What do you think love is? You think is just, you know, being happy with people that like you? No, that's not love. Love is enduring and bearing with and suffering long and believing good things with people that don't like you and people you don't like. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Preach it. I'm going to preach it. Amen. That's what it means to cover someone with love. They've done something, they've said something, and instead of immediately escalating that into an offense and allowing it to get lodged in your spirit as a grudge or a resentment about somebody, instead you bear with them, you endure with them, you believe all things, you hope all things, you endure, you give them the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of the doubt. What does that mean? That means that we immediately assume that they didn't mean to hurt me. I'm gonna give them that. I'm gonna give them that grace. How many love grace? Anybody here love grace? Yeah, we love grace when we get it from God. But how good are we at giving grace to other people? Right? Amen? Right? So we don't always need to confront somebody. We don't always need to go and tell them what they did. Instead, we can just extend forgiveness and say, you know what, I'm just gonna let it go. I'm gonna tell myself, maybe they didn't even know that they hurt me. Maybe they didn't call me because they lost my message on voicemail. They deleted it and forgot. Maybe it's not that they really are trying to disrespect me. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe this person, you know, they just had a bad attitude that day and they said those things, and maybe they're just really going through something, and I'm just going to give them some grace and I'm going to forgive them, right? I heard a saying, it goes like this: be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Right? Be kind, because everyone you meet is fighting a battle. You don't know the challenges and the struggles that the people around you are going through, right? And all we can do is think about how they didn't say hi to me, or they didn't do what I wanted, or they didn't give me what I wanted, what I felt entitled to, right? And instead, love covers that person. Amen? And I have found, in my vast experience of being offended, I've been offended twice in my life. I usually find that the person who did offend me had absolutely no idea that they offended me. Had none whatsoever. And when I talk to them, they're surprised and they're shocked and they're grieved and they're angry at themselves because of what they did. They didn't mean it. That's the way most people are. Most people are not out to get you, right? Most people are not intending to hurt you, okay? A lot of times, we just immediately start building up walls. All right, let me move on here. If you're offended, here's another truth from Proverbs. If you're offended, don't spread your offense. Don't spread your offense, okay? This is not something we share. I know that we like to share things with people, but we don't share offense with people. Proverbs 25:9 says this: debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another. In other words, you may have an issue that you got to go talk to somebody about. You got to work through it, debate your case with your neighbor. But you know what? While you're doing that, keep it a secret. Don't bring everybody else, okay, into your offense. Nobody else needs to know that you're debating a case with your neighbor. Keep it between you and your neighbor and leave everybody else out of it and don't spread your offense. You know, offended people are a lot like skunks. They spread their stink to everyone around them. It's true. I see it all the time. Right? Somebody gets offended, and rather than go to the person who hurt them, they go to their friends for sympathy, or do they go to their family members for support? And really what they're trying to do is they're trying to get someone to validate their offense. Right? They want to feel better about their offense. So they go to someone who's gonna have a pity for them and who's gonna stroke them and who's gonna say, oh, that was horrible, that was terrible that they did that, right? And when that happens, it causes those people who are friends and family and who sympathize with them to actually take up their offense. They actually take up the stink that person has, right? Now understand something. Biblically, there's really only one way to respond to offended people or respond to people who've offended you. And it's in Matthew chapter 18. It's called the Matthew 18 principle. Jesus taught it to his disciples, right? Peter comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, how many times should I forgive someone who offends me? Right? How many remember that? Okay? And Peter's probably feeling all spiritual. He says, how many times should I forgive somebody? 7 times? You know, he's probably thinking, man, that's a lot. So that'll get me in good with Jesus, right? And Jesus says, no, not 7. He says, how about this, Peter? You need to forgive your brother 70 times 7. Right? Now, he wasn't telling Peter to keep a list until you get to 490 and you're free. Now, that's not what he was saying. He's basically blowing Peter's assumption out of the water and saying there is no limit, okay? Innumerable amount of times, okay? A multitude of times you need to forgive someone. And then Jesus tells him how to work through the issue. He says in Matthew 18, verse 15, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Jesus didn't say, go to your family and get support from them and encouragement first. He didn't say, go to your friends and tell them what happened, right? He didn't say that. He said, if you're offended, you go to that person alone. Now, if your love cannot cover the multitude of sins, okay, that's the first step. Can we just forgive that person? Can we just cover them with our love and move on? Can we? Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we got to deal with some behavior. Amen? We got to deal with some conduct, right? Sometimes we got to deal with some issues. And that requires a conversation. And he says, if you're going to go and talk to someone, you go and talk to that person alone, and you don't bring other people into it. And if you go to other people, before you go to that person, then you are violating the principle of Matthew chapter 18, and you're spreading your offense. You are poisoning other people with your toxin, right? Amen. That brings me to the next point. Gossip. Everybody say gossip. Gossip. Proverbs tells us that gossip is a badge of foolishness. Proverbs 10:18 says, whoever spreads slander is a fool. That's exactly what gossip is. Gossip is to repeat a negative report about another person. It means to uncover some flaw or some fault or some deficiency in someone that they probably don't want uncovered. And if you do gossip, if you do spread slander and tell other people about the faults of somebody, then the Bible says that you are acting like a fool. Okay? You're revealing something about yourself. In fact, I believe that people who gossip reveal more about themselves than they do about the people they're gossiping about. What are they revealing? They're revealing bad character. Never is character, bad character, more on display than when a person is gossiping. Let me say that again. Never is bad character more on display than when a person is gossiping. But I wonder, why do we love to gossip so much? What is it about our human nature that we love to hear gossip, we love to repeat gossip? I think it has to do with our sense of insecurity or inferiority, and somehow we feel better when we pull other people down. That's why people gossip, right? They seem to boost their own sense of value by diminishing the value of others. And that's all that's going on with gossip, right? Okay? So a couple truths about gossipers, real quick. Proverbs 17:9 says this, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. When someone is gossiping, you know what happens? They are poisoning your opinion about another person. That's what happens. If you listen to gossip, if I tell you something bad about Pastor Keith, okay. Not that I ever could do that, because there's nothing bad about Pastor Keith, right? And I know some of you think, oh, no, tell me, because I want to pray for him. If I tell you something bad about Pastor Keith, all right, and you listen to it and you take it in, then what happens? The next time you see Pastor Keith, you now perceive him through, right, that tainted lens of gossip that I gave you. I poisoned you. I infected you with an opinion. Now, whenever you see him, you're going to be thinking, uh-huh, yeah, that's Pastor Keith. You know what he did, right? Right? That's what gossip does. It makes people toxic, right? Right? And when we repeat gossip, it separates friends. That's what the scripture says, okay? Instead of pulling people together, it makes us see people as flawed, as deficient. And what do? We push them away and we build up walls. That's what gossip does. And then secondly, it says in Proverbs 11:13, it says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Okay? So listen, it's just a quick word of wisdom. If someone's gossiping to you, you can't trust that person. Okay? Just make a mental note, all right? Because if they're gossiping to you, eventually they'll gossip about you. Amen? Right? If someone's gossiping to you about someone, it's just a matter of time until you become the next person that they gossip about to somebody else. Right? They're not trustworthy. All right? They're toxic. Amen? Amen. And by the way, remember this. Some people think that because they're not actually speaking the gossip, that they're not gossiping. But how many know it takes two people to gossip, right? It involves usually a mouth and a couple of ears. And if you're supplying the ears, then you're participating in gossip. And if you're participating in gossip, then you're just as guilty, right? There's only one way. Listen, if somebody comes to you with their offense and with their gossip, there's really only one response for wise people. And here's what wise people will say. They'll say, look, I love you, and I understand that you've been hurt, and I understand that you're offended, but I think you are talking to the wrong person right now. If you're offended, then you need to go, according to what Jesus said, you need to go and talk to that person alone. Amen? This is what wise people do. Amen. Here's another truth from Proverbs. Another one. Don't take up someone else's offense. Don't take up someone else's offense. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. When your friend is offended and your friend complains to you about someone or something, right, and tries to pull you in, remember this, you don't have all the facts. You're only hearing one side of the story. And wise people remember, they know that if you're only hearing one side of the story, you're only getting half truths. Amen? Right? And you cannot decide to support someone in their offense if you're just hearing one side of the story. There are two sides to every story. How many know that to be true, right? Two sides to every story. And until you hear the other person's version, you don't really know what happened. And this is why Proverbs 18:17 says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. I guarantee you that if, while that person is telling you all about their offense against, you know, this person over here, if this person over here were standing there, you would have a whole different set of circumstances, whole different load of wisdom and information that you would have to listen to, right? Do not answer a matter before you hear it. That means you hear all sides of it and you understand it, right? And you're not going to do that, okay? It's very rare that you're going to get both people there. So what is your only recourse? Sorry, you're talking to the wrong person, okay? If you need someone to talk to, all right, go talk to the person who offended you. Amen? All right. Almost done here. Real quick. The next one. Take responsibility to reconcile with those whom you have offended. How many understand that you can be offensive sometimes? How many are offended now? Yeah, sometimes you can be hard to live with. Sometimes you can be a little rough around the edges. Sometimes you can be a little abrasive, right? Okay? Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. Amen. A man who has friends, if you want friends, then you've got to be friendly. And there are going to be times where you are hard to love and you will rub people the wrong way, okay? And if you're going to have relationships and friendships with people, you've got to recognize when you have offended someone and you've got to take responsibility to reconcile with that person, right? In fact, remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Jesus said this. If you bring your gift to the altar, Jesus says, look, if you come to church, all right, and you come to worship, and there you're in church and you're at worship, and he says, and there remember that your brother has something against you, he says, leave your gift at the altar and go your way and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. The phrase there, has something against you, indicates that your brother or your sister has been offended by something that you did. They've got an offense that you've brought on them, okay? And when you sense that awkwardness, when you sense that division between you and another person, Jesus says you have an obligation in the spirit of unity to go to that person and try to be reconciled, right? Well, what if that person won't hear me? What if that person won't reconcile? What if they tell me, you know what, I'm fine. I don't need to talk to you. I don't like you. I hate your guts. Go away. Okay, what if somebody does that? Okay, fine. They hate your guts. You tried. You did what you had to do, right? You did your part. Now you can go back to the altar, pick up your worship, and worship the Lord and say, Lord, I obeyed your word. I tried to do what I could do, but they wouldn't hear me. Amen? All right? Take responsibility to be reconciled when you offend somebody else. And let me give you this last one, and we're done. Number 7. I gave you 7 points today. 7 points. Avoid explosive people and emotional pyromaniacs. Anybody know what an emotional pyromaniac is? Right? Yes. Proverbs 22, verse 24. It says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. It's sad, but it's true. There are people in the body of Christ, Christian people, who are by nature divisive and disagreeable. They are emotional pyromaniacs. They are not happy unless they are setting everything on fire. You know what I'm talking about. Get them on your team. Have them join your ministry, right? And they're always complaining. They're always disagreeing. They're always challenging. They've always got something negative to say. They're always creating conflict, okay? I mean, they can't handle being in peaceful, serene surroundings, right? As soon as they get into something that's peaceful and serene, they start to have, you know, a reaction to it. They can't handle it, right? They're emotional pyromaniacs. These are people that have been raised in situations where there is constant turmoil and trouble. Maybe they are raised in an abusive home or alcoholic home, and so they're prone to chaos and crisis and stress, and they can't handle peace and serenity, and they've got to self-destruct everything around them. They are hardcore antagonists, and the Bible calls them angry man. Angry man. Everybody just say, angry man. Angry man. Angry man. It's like you have to have an alert going off, you know. We're just dealing with an angry man right now, right? Proverbs 29, 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. There are hidden drivers that are driving some people. And for these people, it's not so much what happened to them today, what you said to them today, as is what happened to them in their past. And they are being driven by past issues that are still hurting them today. They're still dealing with the rejection. They're still dealing with the offense from years ago. And that offense from years ago still has them on fire. And so now any little thing that you do or say, man, you're just adding a little fuel to the fire that's already burning in them. They are emotional pyromaniacs, right? They can't take criticism. They're overly sensitive. They constantly need approval. They're driving around with a cracked windshield, and everything is perceived through their own issues of brokenness. Now, most people are not this way, but they do exist. And the Bible warns us to be on guard. Amen? In fact, Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses and avoid them. Wow. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let me close with this. Do you ever notice that Jesus never got offended? Do you ever notice that? He never got offended. He offended a lot of people, but he never got offended. You know why he never got offended? Because Jesus knew who he was, he knew where he was going, and he knew what his purpose from the Father would be, right? Your value, my value, is not determined by what other people say to us or do to us or do not do to us. Overcomers are people who refuse to be offended. Amen. They refuse to be offended. David wasn't even invited to the anointing ceremony at his house. He wasn't even invited. They left him out on the field with the sheep. That's where he was, right? If anybody should have been offended, it's David. But David wasn't offended. Have you ever been left out on the field? Ever been forgotten about? Yeah, sure. Ever get offended by that? But not David, right? He didn't get offended because David knew who he was. He didn't need his brother's approval. He didn't need his father's approval, right? He knew who he was. Hallelujah. And what you know what's even cool about that story? Is God anointed him in front of all of those other brothers who looked down on him. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Overcomers refuse to be offended. Joseph was marginalized, rejected, minimized, pushed aside. He was falsely accused. He was forgotten about. If anybody should have been offended, it was Joseph. And when those brothers finally showed up in Egypt, he should have said, now it's my turn, right? Now I'm going to make you pay for what you said about me and what you did to me, right? But you know what I love about his story? When his brothers showed up, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Hallelujah. He didn't need his brother's approval. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. He knew who he was, where he was going, and what his purpose would be. Overcomers refuse to be offended. Hallelujah. Amen. And Proverbs gives us principles for how we can push down the walls and we can live free of offense. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here today, God, that may be struggling with an offense. Somebody said something to them. Somebody did something to them. And Lord, right now they're on the hook. They're caught in the trap. Lord, I pray that you will give them the grace to first acknowledge that they have been offended. And then, Lord, to be able to cover that offender with love. And if need be, to be able to talk to that person with grace. Help us, Lord, to get free from the toxin and the poison of offense that pulls us down and ruins our faith, Lord. Help us, oh God. Help us, Lord. Amen. Let's stand together, church. Thank you, Lord God. Just put your hand on your heart. Just put your hand on your heart and say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Come on. Just say, help me, Lord. Because, Lord, we know offenses will come. Help me, Lord God, to not get trapped. To not get trapped. Come on, just talk to the Lord right now. Help me, Lord, to not get trapped, Lord. Give me the discernment of a wise man. Give me discretion, Lord. Give me wisdom, Lord. Help me to recognize that when offense comes, Lord, it is a trap. It's a trap, Lord God. And help me, Lord, to observe the truths of your word to stay free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.